Our New Testament reading comes from the Gospel of Mark, the 4th chapter, verses 35 through 41, and it can be found on page 37 in the New Testament portion of your pew Bible. Please follow along as I read. On that day, when evening had come, he said to them, "Let us go across to the other side." And leaving the crowd, they took him with them in the boat, just as he was. And other boats were with him. And a great storm of wind arose, and the waves beat into the boat, so that the boat was already filling. But he was in the stern, asleep on the cushion. And they woke him and said to him, "Teacher, do you not care if we perish?" And he awoke and rebuked the wind and said to the sea, "Peace, be still." And the wind ceased, and there was a great calm. He said to them, "Why are you afraid? Have you no faith?" And they were filled with awe and said to one another, "Who then is this that even wind and sea obey him?" The word of the Lord.
This morning, we find ourselves in the Gospel according to Mark, where Mark shares with us an account of a day, of a particular situation, of a particular moment, in which the disciples found themselves on the brink of death. Mark, as well as Matthew and Luke, record all the same details with just some minor differences here and there. But in the end, all three Gospels, Matthew, Mark, and Luke, all say the same thing. Mark says that on one particular day, in fact, Mark says on that day, Luke, on the other hand, says, on one of those days, it really doesn't matter when it occurred. The bottom line is that this event occurred. Mark says, on that day, when evening came, Jesus told his disciples, "Let's all get into a boat and let's go to the other side." The disciples pleased Jesus. They all agreed with him. They all got into a boat, and they all started to go to the other side of the lake. The lake in which they found themselves was basically, and namely, the Sea of Galilee. Jesus and his disciples were all in this boat, and they set sail to go to the other side. As they are sailing to the other side, a sudden wind began to come into the area, and the waves began to get kind of rowdy. Not only were the winds blowing and the waves became rowdy, but the boat itself began to shake and be tossed here and there. As the boat is shaking here and there, the disciples, they're all looking at each other. And in desperation, they are trying to control the boat. This had never happened to them. Yes, they had found themselves in different occasions in which the wind blew and the waves began to get just a little rowdy, but not to the extent as it was happening on this particular evening. Mind you, they did not have a light. They did not have a candle. They did not have anything for them to be able to see what was ahead of them. All they saw was darkness around them. The winds blowing here and there from the north, from the south, from the east, from the west. The waves are just coming up and down, and the boat is just rocking back and forth, and the disciples are looking at each other. They're looking at each other, and they're trying to hold on to dear life. As the boat is rocking here and there, they notice that Jesus himself was sleeping through the entire ordeal. Perhaps one of the disciples began to get just a little annoyed at the fact that Jesus was in the boat and was doing nothing at all. Mark tells us, as well as Matthew and Luke, that Jesus was asleep while the disciples were holding on to dear life. As one of the disciples begins to observe that Jesus is doing nothing, another disciple moves a third disciple and says, "Hey, Jesus is doing nothing at all. He is asleep in the stern." And the other disciples begin to bicker with one another, and they say, "Yeah, Jesus is not doing anything. What's up with this guy? Why is he not doing a darn thing?" And so they approach Jesus while they're still trying to hold on to the oars. They go to Jesus and they wake him up. And they say, "Master, the winds are blowing. The waters are coming in. Don't you care about us? We're about to die. Does it matter to you what is occurring to us?" And Jesus gets up. Now, if you and I were asleep, we don't like to be bothered while we're sleeping, right? If someone suddenly awakens us up, we ourselves get a little annoyed with the individual and say, "Why do you wake me up? What's your problem? Couldn't you have taken care of this?" But Jesus, being who he is, woke up. And he looks at his disciples and he sees what is going on. There is darkness surrounding the boat. There is darkness in the area because, again, it is nighttime. The winds are blowing. The waters are crashing, beating up against the boat. And Jesus, standing up, tells the wind to be still. And Jesus then tells the water to calm down. And all three Gospels tell us that there was sudden peace in the area. Our lives are like the disciples in a boat. On many occasions, we find ourselves as if there is darkness all around us. There are times in our lives in which the winds seem to be blowing and the waters are crashing and beating up against us. We go through problems, we go through situations, we go through circumstances, and we feel as if life is going to suck us in. We feel as if the floor is going to open and we're going to fall right down through it. We find ourselves in situations and feel as if we are going to drown in our circumstances. And there are moments. When those moments occur, there are moments that we cry out to God and say, "God, do you not care? God, don't you care? I'm drowning in this situation. I don't know what to do. Doors have closed here and there. God, I'm running out of cash. I'm running out of money. God, the bills are just piling up. God, instead of getting better, I'm getting worse. The more I go to the doctors, the more they come up with something else. God, I don't know what to do. I don't know what to say. I don't know where to look to go. I don't know who to talk with. God, don't you care? Like the disciples, we get into those moments of anxiety, those moments of anxiousness, those moments of uncertainty. And yes, it seems as if God is not there. It seems as if God has turned a deaf ear, has turned a blind eye, and God has become mute. But it's in those moments when it seems that God is not there, it is in those moments in which God is as closer to us than the very air that we breathe. There are those moments, it seems, when God is not answering. It seems as if God is not listening. It seems as if God is not seeing. But you know what? Everything that occurs in our lives, everything that is going on, it is because God has a plan. God will be glorifying himself through what is occurring in our hearts and in our lives. But Tony, it doesn't make any sense. You mean that the sicker I get, God is going to be glorified? Human understanding does not know the ways of how God does things. We are reminded in Isaiah when God says, "For my ways are not your ways, and my thoughts are not your thoughts." Yes, God glorifies himself through our personal ailments, through our personal situations. There is a way that God does things, so that God will be glorified. You see, God does things to draw our attention, not to ourselves, but to draw attention unto him. I've shared with you on several occasions that I am a type 1 diabetic. I've been a diabetic for 48 years, going on 49. My daily life has only known to take insulin in the morning, insulin during the day, and insulin at night. I was diagnosed with type 1 diabetes when I was 8 years of age. At that point in time, there were no insulin pumps, there was just syringes. And so I had to poke myself every single day, not understanding what was going on. But I do remember the words of the nurse that was teaching me how to use the syringe. She said, "You will be doing this for the rest of your life." At that point in time, I did not understand what those words meant. But now at my age, I think I got some knowledge of that. I understand now what it meant. So for 48 years, I have had, and I still do take insulin. Right now, I'm on an insulin pump. And there are times that I joke about it. I joke around about it. Sometimes I say, excuse me, I have to shoot up. But then I have to clarify my statement, right? Not that I'm shooting up with drugs. I'm shooting up with insulin, even though, would insulin classify as a drug? I don't know. Michelle? But in the midst of all of this, In the midst of the 48 years, I am grateful to God, though I don't understand why I ended up with this disease, but I am grateful to God for the opportunity of, number one, serving Him, number two, of knowing Him, and number three, of just enjoying God. Now, God will glorify Himself in one way or another. And perhaps God is glorifying Himself right now. But at the end of the day, I can say this, that come what may, God is there. And come what may, God is glorifying Himself. And come what may, God is in control. We've all gone through things. We've all gone through situations, perhaps not health-wise, but in other circumstances, things have occurred. And we always question, is God there? God is there. All God is asking of you and of me is to just trust Him. That is why when Jesus woke up and He told the winds to be still, and He told the waves to be still, and there was peace and there was quiet, He turned to His disciples and He questioned them and said, "Where is your faith?" Matthew says that Jesus asked the question, "Why don't you believe, O men of little faith?" Luke says that Jesus asked the question, "Why don't you have any faith?" What is faith? Faith is simply this. Faith is to simply take God at His word, come what may. God is not a man. God is not a human being so that He could lie. God is not a human being that goes back on His word. God has a very high reputation. God always keeps His word. And when God tells us that He will be with us through the midst of the storm, when we go through the fire, when it seems as if we're walking through the valley of the shadow of death, God says, "Fear not, for I am with you." We can take God at His word. 365 times we find in the Bible the phrase in which God says, "Fear not." 365 times. That's the equivalent of taking one of those statements for every single day of our lives, every single day during the year. There's one particular statement that God says through the prophet Isaiah, where God says, "Don't anxiously look around you. Don't despair. Fear not, for I am with you. I will be with you. I will take you with my powerful right hand, and I will guide you." Jesus' statement to His disciples, "Let us go over to the other side," meant, yes, we will go through something on this journey. It's not going to be a smooth ride for you. But just know that as long as I'm in the boat, we're going to get there. Just know that as long as I am with you, you will get to the other side. And notice this, he said, you're not going to get to the other side. He said, let us, you and me, let us go over to the other side. So, beloved, this morning we are reminded through Scripture that we are not alone, that we are not living life on our own, that Jesus goes with us, the Son of God, the great I am, is with us as we journey through life. Come what may, whatever storm, whatever darkness may be around us, God is with us because we will get to the other side. And because he said, I will be with you. Let us trust God. Let us take God at his word. Let us deposit all our anxieties, cares, worries, troubles. Let us put it all in God's hands. Let us put it and spread it before God's feet. And let us take God at his word. Fear not. I am with you. We will get to the other side. Amen.